All right, guys, this has to be my favorite one so far. And I know I say that every time. Today, I'm here with Christiana Moratanz, who set out to create a tequila brand with a purpose. She knew that success would mean addressing some of the challenges faced by those closest to the tequila industry. And that's exactly what she's done with Valor Tequila, a spirit that's beautifully crafted, but also carries a deeper, meaningful story. And today, we're going to dive into that story. Hey, Christiana, how are you doing today?
Oh, Brad, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Super duper. Although it's a little bit cold here and you're probably enjoying some California warmth, would be my guess.
Listen, it's like 60 here. And for me, that's cold. So
supposed to be 29 on Saturday with a low of 13. Yeah, that's what we're going to have our Thanksgiving weekend. It's going to be beautiful.
Well, I guess I should probably shut my mouth then.
I keep telling my wife it's time to move to Mexico. That's what I say.
Oh, God, I know. Where would you move if you did?
Well, you know, we always said we'd buy a place in Cabo, but after visiting Tequila and being in that region, we're going to Arandes after we see you in February. And I told Tony, I said, man, we should find like a hacienda there with some land and like buy a house there. I think that'd be really cool. So maybe
someday. If you guys are thinking about that, let me know. Cause I have some great people I can connect you with that are local that work.
That'd
in
be
real
fantastic.
Estate. Yes, absolutely.
All right. So I know you have an amazing story. So if you could tell everybody a little bit of your story, how you got to where you are, and then, the added piece to that would be how and why tequila?
I know it is. That is like the $1 million question, quite literally the $1 million question. My background is it's sort of a winding road, but I think I need to start with the fact that I was born to immigrant parents, and my mom is from El Salvador and my dad was from Germany. But my dad thought he was Mexican, like loved everything about Mexican culture, lived, breathed it, everything. So he went to La Paz in Baja, just right outside of Cabo, in the 80s, and fell in love with it. So I started going down there with him a lot. And, you know, basically, and same with my mom in El Salvador. So I've spent the majority of my lifetime living between El Salvador, Mexico, and California. And so Mexico is a very, very, very big place in my heart. Tequila does as well. My sisters are 12 and 13 years older than I am, and they took me to Cabo in 89. And we were at Plaza Las Glorias, which is still there, very different Cabo. And you've been going there for a long time, so you understand it's two different worlds compared to them. And they had like the welcome margarita, and they're like, okay, you can have one sip. And I was like, okay. So I took a sip and I was like, ooh, that's kind of delicious. They turned around and I drank the whole thing. And so I can say with great honesty, tequila has been in my life since fourth grade. And so, you know, so that's a little bit of context for how I got to tequila. Since I was a kid, I was a super like planet nerd. Like I loved protecting the planet. And, you know, I was the kid that introduced Earth Day to my middle school in like 1992, you know, it was just like, I love being outdoors. I was on horses and just a big part of my life. And I think by the nature of growing up with immigrant parents, a very sort of resourceful lifestyle is what I grew up in, right? There was no food wasting. Plastics weren't really in our house just because they both grew up, you know, without anything. And so, you know, it's just sort of my nature. And then fast forward to college, I was a poli sci major, thought I wanted to become a lobbyist, you know, for some good cause, interned in DC. And I said, absolutely not. I want to actually get things done. So right. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And the world led me to the Walt Disney Company. And I was really lucky in 2005, 2 years out of college, I got a job running our environmental education programs. And at that time, Bob Iger was coming in as the CEO and Tom Staggs was the CFO. And Tom in particular was really big on corporate responsibility and corporate sustainability. And so he brought in this woman, Dr. Beth Stevens, and to run our division. I was very lucky. She interviewed every single person on staff, and I was very lucky that she hand selected me to work directly for her and build out our environmental youth programs. And wow. So, yeah, it was the best job ever. And Tom Staggs became a mentor of mine, and you know, he really believed in this work. So I was really lucky to have 7 years working for a huge corporation with a huge brand, but also getting to do good. And it was the first time, you know, that I really got to understand how corporations can do really good work and also make money at the same time. So after I left Disney, I decided to leave a very high paying job, a huge budget, to go work for a very broke, in the red, environmental nonprofit in DC.
Wow.
Yeah. My dad and I, it took him a while to, I mean, I was going to do whatever I wanted to do, but he's like, how are you leaving? Like, and I had great opportunity at Disney too. I said, you know, Pop, I just feel like I need to try something different, because when you work for a company like Disney, you have every resource and access and calling card. I mean, the moment you say you work for the Walt Disney Company, every door opens. And so I took a risk. Yeah. Oh yeah. I hope that's what this gets us to one day. You work for Valor? Amazing.
can I stay in your castle?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can. Yes. Yes. Instead of a princess, it'll be a hummingbird castle.
There you go.
So I went to work for this nonprofit and really got the opportunity to build corporate partnerships, because I understood how the corporate side worked, and I was learning how the NGO side of things, nonprofit side of things worked, and started building like programs for companies, whether it was getting kids to care for water or working on like major climate initiatives with companies that wanted to fund innovation around climate change, whatever it may be. Like, I really understood that there was a deep need for corporations to want to do good, but they just didn't have the resources or like the wherewithal to do it. So they would hire us. But that just kept me in the environmental world. And so I thought, gosh, there's so much more out there that we can do. I should just start my own agency. So I started Do Goodery in 2019. And just a little quick in between story about that. My dad died unexpectedly at the end of 2018. Yeah. Yeah. It sucked. It sucked. And he is the reason behind the hummingbird. But I was literally building Do Goodery. I was working for my old organization, and I had to take over my dad's engineering company because it was so unexpected. You know, me and my sisters had to sort of divide and conquer. So it was a really wild time. And I launched this at the end of like October of 2019, Do Goodery. Pandemic hit. And all of a sudden my world just flipped upside down, but then the world sort of came back together for me, and we landed some massive clients in 2020 where we got to do all of our work virtually. And so that was like Do Goodery thriving. And I was like, huh, what's next? And so I was having dinner with Tom Staggs, and he said, you know, Christiana, you've spent your entire career helping other companies do good. Maybe it's time for you to start your own product company, so that you can model what it looks like to really think about the entire supply chain, so that the person at the beginning of the supply chain has the opportunity to build generational wealth and have access to healthcare and safety equipment, all the way to me. And I said, well, geez, I just started Do Goodery 2 years ago, but why not? Why not do this? And 2 weeks later, flew down to this little tiny place called Puerto Morelos, which is like half an hour, 45 minutes south of Cancun. And just a series of events of meeting people, a boat ride, learning about tequila. Like, I can go on and on and on about the story. But what I was learning very quickly was that tequila was booming, but then understanding that the money really and the resources weren't going back to the people. And so I thought, huh. And to be clear, the majority of the companies are owned by brands here in the States or in the UK. So it's yep. not like if this was all people working in Mexico and owning, I wouldn't have touched this. Not my business, you know, but the fact that we here get to benefit from this beautiful spirit. So I thought, you know what? I got back home and I said, tequila, that is what I'm going to do. And I'll stop there. But it's been this adventure journey where it's just been super serendipitous. You know, one thing has just doors keep opening, and it's been amazing. Really amazing.
Well, I'm glad you picked tequila.
Me too. Yeah. I love it so much.
It's so awesome. So, Thank you. Let's talk about your tequila a little bit. You're at $15.99. Is that right up for the knob? Okay.
Atanasio.
How did you end up at Atanasio? Well, I know there's a little bit of a story of how you got there.
I love this story and I love them so much. They really are family to all of us. So our head of finance for Do Goodery, her name is Lupe. And Lupe and her husband, their families are both from Jalisco. And her husband's family has agave in Juchitlan, which is about 2 hours outside of Tequila, or Guadalajara. And so I called her. I was like, I have this crazy idea. And she's like, oh my God, I have goosebumps. So she said, let me connect you with Fernando, her husband's cousin, Danny. And you guys can take it from there. So Danny took over the family farm after his dad died just a few years ago. And we met for dinner. And so it had sort of that initial real deep connection, because that's, you know, like, I don't wish that upon anybody when you're, especially when you're young, right? And next thing you know, we were booking a trip and he introduced me to a broker, this guy, Carlos, who, like, that's what he does. He introduces people to distilleries. And we went up and down the Valle. Cascawin was my first visit and I fell in love because this guy Tetsu was there doing the tour and I just loved him. And then we rounded it out at Atanasio. And this trip was simply exploratory. We didn't talk business. It was really just me understanding the industry and how this works, because I had no idea, right? I was like, I'll figure it out. I don't know. Well, I have no idea how to start a liquor business, but you know, we're going to figure it out.
You figured out everything else, so...
100%. Right. Yeah. And so we went to Atanasio and Renee was there and it was just Renee and we just did a tasting and I appreciated him. It's funny because when I tell people this story and you see the public facing Renee, you know, they're like two different people, but quiet Renee is just incredibly like thoughtful and intentional. And I was learning a lot from him and I said, what a great guy. What a just like grounded, cool human. So we left and I thought Cascawin was my first choice, just because it just seemed like, you know, that was the bigger, better. Sorry, Chava. It is still cool, but, and then
it is very amazing.
Yes.
A lot of great 1123 bottles.
Exactly. But I really liked Atanasio too. So we scheduled a return visit. I wasn't the one to reach out to Cascawin, the broker was, and we hadn't heard from them. And so I thought, well, that's okay, because I really liked Atanasio. And there was nobody else that was interesting to me in all those distilleries. Mm-hmm. So we go, and like for business purposes this time, and I don't know if you know who Chasid is, but Chasid is Renee's daughter. And she is wiser beyond her years. And so she was there and he said, listen, I hope it's okay. And she was like 20 at the time. I hope it's okay. I invited my daughter to join us because I want her to see a woman in this kind of position of power in the industry. And my heart melted. I was like, oh God, I'm home. And so
I'm not going if Chava calls.
Totally. And, you know, we sat there and their director of operations, Erman, you're going to meet all these people in February when you're there. But Erman, I love this man so much. We were sitting and we were telling him about the vision of what we're trying to create. And Erman kind of pushes his chair back. And I was like, because they weren't taking on any new brands. Like they're super, super, super cognizant of who they bring on. And I thought we lost them. And Erdman said, nobody has ever come to us thinking about people and planet first and then profit. And that was in May of 2022. And the rest is history.
Wow. That's fantastic. Yeah. I really like Atanasio. The first time I had it was when we were in the town of Tequila.
That's not, oh my gosh.
You can't find it here in Indiana. So every time I'd see a different bottle, I'd just like, okay, a double of those, neat. You know, oh, I haven't had that one yet. Double of that one, neat. You know, so that's and the square in Tequila is so fun. That's such a neat town.
So, when was the last time you were there?
We were just there in August.
Have you been to Extete?
Nope. No, we did 4 days just 4 days there at Tequila. We stayed at Casa Salas. We went to Teclino. We went to Arete, Fortaleza, and then we did go to Cascawin.
Fantastic. Did you go to the bar Extete, though?
Oh, you know, I did pay attention to the name. So we went to the one where the Batanga is famous. So we started there, and then we went into town, you know, down to the square, and we ate at one place on, you know, there's the two squares. So we ate at the one that's on the first square, and then we drank at the little shops that were along the road. It was a Friday night, so there was lots of things going on in town. And then we went to a bar that was catty corner from that bar. But I didn't pay attention to the names of them, and I felt bad that I didn't, because a couple people have asked me, did you eat at this bar? And I was like, I don't know. Is it right here?
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Well, next time for sure, we will take you there. It's a fabulous place. And it's actually a co-ownership between the Atanasio family and a few other people.
So, oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So the agaves that you're using for this, are they coming from that family friend, or are these agaves that are being sourced or come from Atanasio?
So Atanasio helped us source these, and they're from Matitan, and it's two different estates, and they were 6.5 to 7 years old between the two estates.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Low pressure autoclave, right? Roller mill, deep well water.
Yes.
And stainless steel, open fermentation, no fibers, just wild, whatever happens, happens, right?
Correct. I love that you know this. It makes my job a lot easier, Brad.
Well, there's one thing I have this weird thing. I can memorize a couple of things. Every mortgage program out there, it's stuck in here. And then things about tequila. Like, people ask me something about tequila, and I'm like, oh, that's a high-pressure autoclave. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of, you know, the way they do it. Or, oh, no, that's a Tahuna. That's a Stone Oven. You know, I love that tequila. Like, those things get stuck in there, and I remember them for some reason.
I feel like they're both very valuable pieces of information to know. The mortgage industry. And tequila, you know,
you don't know this, but I have another podcast with a realtor friend of mine. We've been doing it for almost 2 years, and it's called Real Estate Makes Us Drink. So we have drinking as a theme for us. It's a big thing. Yeah, it's crazy. And then he was just on a podcast that's a big social media podcast. And I said, what's it called? And he said, oh, look, it's Drunk on Social. I was like, there's way too many drinking themes for the two of us. So, I mean, so fun.
At least you're drinking clean stuff.
I'm drinking good stuff. Yeah. So I do have a question. Once double distilled, I think it's stainless pots where you're at. Then are you guys resting it before you bottle it?
So the Blanco, I mean, all the juice stabilized for 2 months before we even bottled the Blanco. And then we bottled our 45%. We did 45% Blanco, 45% Reposado, and 10% Añejo, which I'm kicking myself for that, by the way. So 2 months stabilizing, part of that was not intentional. That was truly just like dealing with labeling and CRT and all of that. But it all worked out because it turned out to be a beautiful juice.
It's fantastic juice, actually. I really like it. It has a funk to it. And I love tequilas that have that. I never know how to explain it. Like, you want to say, you know, oh, it's got a cheesy smell to it, but that does never sound right. You know,
The mallow. It's the mallow.
Yeah, it's the mallow.
Some people notice it. Some people do not notice it. And, you know, Jay Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
never met. We've talked. He lives an hour south of me, but we've never talked. We've always DM'd each other. Yeah.
Nicest person. And his on-screen partner, Maddie, when they did our review, she was like, oh my God, that's so cheesy. When she smelled it, she's like, oh. And then she drank it and she's like, oh my God, I love it. So, you know, it's like everybody's different.
I always love it. When I find a tequila that has that, I'm like, ah, oh, that's... And from what I understand, it's from length of fermentation and sometimes the time of year that it's fermented that brings that out.
So many factors, right? So many variables. Yeah. And when it is open air fermentation without any type of additives, you really don't know what you're going to get, which is a wonderful thing. And also, you know, potentially hard thing, because when we produce our second batch, I don't know what it's going to taste like, you know, and I hopefully it's even better. But yeah, that's the challenge.
How did you land on being a little bit higher proof than, you know, your standard 40 ABV?
So Chava came full circle. Last year when we were testing this, Renee helped us organize a panel. So Chava was there, Gina Castillo, La Tequileña. We had like a lot of really, you know, sort of well like these super, super, super experts in the industry come and help us do this. And so we had 40, 42, 44, 45, and 46. That's what we were tasting. And everybody landed on the 42. And
that's
so that's how we got there. Yeah. And I started this when I was 42. So it's perfect.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So same juice that went into the barrels to make your repo?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then
it's still batch number one. We were getting ready to do our second production, but we're still, this is all the same juice.
Awesome. So the barrels aged in what type of barrel are you guys using?
American white oak bourbon. And okay. We did a super light char on the barrel because I don't like sweet drinks. I love candy, but I don't like sweet drinks. Okay. And so, we wanted to keep the essence of the agave because as you probably experienced, it's super agave forward. And yep. I didn't want to lose that. So that's how we ended up just doing a little bit of burn and that's it.
How many months are you aging for?
Reposado was 4 months in the barrels and the Añejo 15 months.
15 months. And that's kind of the new thing, right? The Añejo is just making it to market.
Oh my God. It has been, I can't even tell you, this thing should have been here in September. We should be sold. I mean, we are almost sold out of it already in our pre-sale. But yes, it is finally here and we're just waiting to get confirmation from, our distributor that it's ready to roll.
That's awesome. Well, I can't wait to try it. I'm excited.
Yeah, well, it's magic.
Where can everybody find you? I know the website, I think, is drinkvelour.com. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Drinkvelour.com. If you go to our website too, you can see where we are on premise. And we're now with Sip Tequila as well. So you can get us through there. But yes, we're available in all 50 states except Alaska through our website.
Oh, that's fantastic. Social media. Where can everybody find you on social media?
At Drinkvelour.
Okay. One thing we haven't talked about yet, and I know you got to go.
No, no.
Let's talk about the foundation. So
thank you.
How did that come about and talk about the things that you do with that? Because I think that is, it's so amazing and so important. And then also I want to hear the Hummingbird story with that as well.
Yeah. So first of all, Brad, thank you to you and your entire community for the support that you've given us. It's been enormous and we are getting so close to getting this thing fully funded. So we're launching something on Giving Tuesday to sort of see if we can raise the remaining funds before the end of the year.
Awesome.
So the Gente Buena Foundation was a result of Valor because 10% of every bottle goes back into this community work that we're doing. It's like 100 million% at this point, you know, to get this work funded. But we realized like, you know, we're still, you know, we're a burgeoning brand. And, you know, in order to fund this work, which will cost millions of dollars over the years in terms of, you know, water infrastructure, that's actually not just cisterns, but running water, the living wages, all the things that we want to do, education, professional development, you know, that's going to cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so we won't be able to fund that on our own, you know, for a long time. And so the idea was, let's create a foundation so that other people can support this. And Gente Buena was actually going to be the name of Valor initially. And then at one point I realized that too many people are like, Gente Buena, Genti. And I was like, okay, not going to work, y'all. So we said, okay. Let's rethink this. But we thought it was the perfect name for the foundation because now we're going, and obviously we've been doing the public fundraising, thanks to people like you, Doug, the New York Agave Club. I mean, so many people have really gotten behind this. But then we're launching a new program called the Prosperity Pledge, which will be inviting other brands to join this. So what you'll see is the bird is going to be coming off the Gente Buena Foundation logo because we want this to feel much bigger than just us. And sure. So a lot of exciting things will be happening with that very soon. So right now, number one priority is getting these cisterns installed in San Pedro de los Landeros so that all 176 community members have access to water 24 hours a day.
I practiced
and just a little context.
I had to practice saying that name for our event that we had.
Gente Buena?
The town. I'm not going to do it now. And I was told that even people from Mexico have trouble saying the name of that town.
San Pedro de los Landeros. It is a mouthful. A mouthful. Yeah. Yeah. So many words, so many syllables. Yeah. And just for a little context, the reason we're working there is that NOM 1599 sits in that community, and a lot of their employees live in that community as well.
That's fantastic. That is awesome. Yeah. All right. So the hummingbird.
Oh, the hummingbird. We call him Zunzunito. That's his nickname, because in Cuba, they call hummingbirds Zunzun. Or Zunzuns, because they sound like, so the sound like zoom zoom. So
yeah,
yeah.
That makes
and I
sense.
Was like, that's the cutest thing. So we started calling him Zunzunito. So it, my dad, as I mentioned, in 2018, died unexpectedly of a blood clot. So he was gone in less than a minute. And he was in El Salvador at the time. I happened to be in Switzerland at the time. And so it was December. I flew home. And I was in my mom's backyard on the phone with his GM, and it was cold, and there was a hummingbird. I'm like, what are you? This is not your season, buddy. Mm. What are you doing here? And, you know, this had been less than 48 hours since he had died. And, you know, in a moment like that, you kind of look for anything to make you feel a sense of hope, you know, and just like a sense of like, oh, fuck, are you going to be okay? Sorry. But that was like, yeah. That was literally, because it was so, it just breaks your brain losing somebody like that. It just broke my brain, but we had to keep going, you know? And so that just became like my dad's symbol. And then fast forward 4 years later, when we were starting this journey, I was telling our art director, Nick, who's the artist behind the story, and he loved it. And so he started doing more research about the hummingbird in Mexican culture, and they're representatives of everywhere, but harbingers of good. And if you see a hummingbird, it means that somebody is thinking of you fondly, and it's our job to put that, you know, good energy back into the world. And then this symbol right here is the Mexican indigenous symbol for balance. And so we're trying to put balance back into, you know, the supply chain, not just of tequila, but, and, you know, in many industries. And so the idea is like lots of goodness and balance.
That's amazing.
Thank
well, you are amazing.
I hope
people tell you that all the time, because.
Oh, thank you.
You've done a lot of things that are for other people. I haven't heard you say the word I or me very often. Everything that you're doing is for other people. And that's impressive. You are very impressive. And just thanks for all of the things that you do. That's pretty amazing.
Thank you, Brett. Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that. And, you know, it just, I got to say, it feels real good to do things for others, you know. And again, it's not like this like self-serving type or like I just want to feel good about myself. But community is everything. And so I think when we're all working towards a greater good, that's just so much more powerful. And like, for me, so much more satisfying, so much more satisfying. So yeah. And I'm grateful. And I think growing up with immigrant parents helped that a lot.
Oh, that's incredible. Well, you're incredible. And thank you for taking your time.
Brad, so are you. You guys are awesome. And Tony is awesome. And I'm so excited to meet you guys in February.
We can't wait. It's going to be a blast.
Yes. And thank you for this opportunity.
Do you have any in your glass to at least do a cheers before we go?
You know, I was actually drinking tea. Oh, these are our new glasses that we're going to be selling soon.
Oh, those are cool.
Mm-hmm. Handmade here by one of our team members, actually.
You know, when you own a tequila company, does that automatically give you the ability to just drink tequila any time of the day?
Oh my God, I drink so much tequila, Brad. It's not even funny. Within reason, of course. Yes, it does give me the ability to drink, but you know what's funny? Is that I have to be so careful, right? Because it's real easy to just be like, let me. So, you know, all in moderation.
It's so good too. It's like, I'm going to have a glass of tequila tonight, you know? And then it's like, I think I'm ready to go to sleep.
Yeah. But I will say the good news about this stuff, it certainly doesn't make you feel as shitty as some other booze does. So
I can bounce right up and do whatever. So
yes,
well, cheers to you. Cheers to your company.
Thank you.
You're fantastic.
Thank you. And to you and Tony, you guys are awesome.